would ask us, you know, where are you from? And at that time, you know, we'd say, well, we're from Western Connecticut. And they go, where's that? You know, we'd say, Danbury. And it always sounded like a little hip college someplace. But it's still, to me, I still liked it here. And it, you know, and I didn't care how big or how small it was. The reason I came here was because it was small. I could have gone to Central and commuted. It was 20 minutes away from my house. But I chose to come here, which at that time was an hour and 15 minutes because we didn't have the benefits of 84, which now takes me home in 45 minutes. But I like it here, and I think I always will like it here for as long as I'm privileged to stay or choose to stay. I was saying the other day that I liked my years in college. I don't think I would, if I had to do over again, I don't think I would change anything. I pretty much like what I've done since I've gotten out of college in connection with the college and my other activities. And a good deal of my time is spent in and around the college, either in the dorm or in Old Main and administration with the alumni. And I, you know, I really enjoy what I'm doing and what I have done and what I hope to continue to do.
And there are all too few people who can say this, you know, if I had it to do over again, I think doing just what I did would be...
I think, you know, I'm pretty sure that I'd continue on. I'd still continue to gripe and say, oh, another job I have to do. Or Mr. Kennedy put me on another committee a few weeks ago. I'm secretary of some little state alumni association now. And, you know, and I complain about it because it means I have to spend an extra hour one night writing the minutes of the meeting and I have to go up to New Britain once a month. But other than that, you know, it's something else that I do. And if I didn't do it, I'd only stay here doing something else, you know. Maybe something I didn't like as much. But I enjoy being out. I enjoy being with people. I particularly enjoy being with people who know what's going on around them. And I did this while I was in college. I used to work for the public relations office, for Mr. Trippert's office, and Mr. Walrath at that time, admissions. And I used to do tours of the campus, and I used to get to meet the prospective students and their parents. I proctored testing, and we used to do interviews and admissions days and things in Old Main. And I really enjoyed it because I got to meet a whole lot of people. You got to know faculty and administration on a different status than just going in because you have a problem or something. They were a little more personable to you when they got to know you than who you were around. And I just, you know, I just really enjoyed it. And I still like it. I can see where people don't like being here and can't find anything, you know, to remember about it except that it was a... I recently got a letter from, as a matter of fact, last week, from our fundraising lady sent back the little insert card in our envelope, and on the back she said, please take my name off of the list. I spent two of the most hateful years of my life at WestCon. And what year was she? So an early year, a really early year, it surprised me. It was like around the early 30s or something like that. And I was really, really surprised that someone would say that because I've heard that before, you know, on more current years, like during the 40s or the 50s, I've had people say that. But, and we've taken people off the list if that's what they requested. But I don't remember ever hearing, you know, all I could think of was the early years of the college must have been beautiful, blissful, lovely time to be in school. And evidently, for some reason or other, this lady didn't find it as such, and she just didn't want anything to do with the college. Now, I can understand that also.
Well, they were depression years, of course.
Right. So, you know, you've got a lot of, there's a lot of reasons for it. Many of the girls, many of the students, the male and female, who graduate from here, will undoubtedly, in later years, say the same thing, that they, maybe not hateful, but maybe this wasn't the best time of their life. And they found other things that were. But I'm sure those that were are involved with athletics, are involved with the functions on campus, will have some good memories to take back.
Including memories, I think, of some pretty good teachers.
And some very good teachers. We have some really fine instructors here, really fine.
I was struck just within the past week. As a matter of fact, I tore out the section and put it in my newspaper clippings. One issue mentioned three rather significant things. I can only think of two of them. One was the publication of Brackman's book and the gold of Tutankhamun. And the other was Kathleen McGrory and Book Yeats Joyce and somebody else. And I forget the third. But these would be significant in any college.
We have a lot of, Dr. McGrory has published several books. Dr. Isham has written two books, two children's books.
Oh, I didn't
books,
know this.
Two books. Many of our instructors have had articles printed in journals and have publications, have books and articles and things written and published. So we're not, you know, we're not a little hick school. We have authoritative people, people who are in the know and know what they're doing. Our nursing program is supposedly one of the finest in the Eastern Coast, as is our, although it's very new, but the people who are in charge of our criminal justice program are supposed to be some of the finest in the area.
The program itself is very unique.
And the program itself is very, you know, very good and very unique. Again, it's a new program and time will tell how it fares, but so far it's, you know, doing really well. Business administration and business programs here at WestConn have been an absolute unthinkable thing until a couple of years ago when we got the program in.
And now,
it's really, you know, I mean, between our economy and everything, you know, and the job
expansion,
there's, you know, there's no jobs for teachers, so our teacher, our elementary and teaching programs have dwindled in enrollment, but our business administration and our other programs are picking up.
Sure.
So the school is making progress. It's not lacking behind. It's not standing still.
Yeah.
It's going places, even though the economy is not, you know, saying that it should go someplace. It just is.
Yeah, Western Connecticut
it's
seems
moving.
To be going in, no matter
the,
what.
The whole area,
yeah.
The whole, you know, geographically, Western Connecticut is a fast-growing place. And in order for us to stay above water, we have to move along with it. And I think we're doing that.
On this matter of alumni, I have no idea how alumni associations would tag these in any event. I can recall as I started to make a little more money from year to year, I became conscious that the alumni association was a little more aware of me.
Uh-huh.
You know, I'd get maybe three letters a year instead of one, that sort of thing. So I suppose there are ways by which you keep tabs on the men and women who are doing, let's say, better than the runts. Do you have a file or something similar on prominent alumni, you know, those who have really done things?
We haven't really kept real tabs on prominent alumni. This year we decided we would because we've had some requests for, you know, who are some of your well-known alumni or what have some of your alumni done. Dr. Bursey particularly was interested in this. So we established, we wrote up a questionnaire and we sent it to our alumni. And we sent that out in August, and to date we've gotten some 1,300 back. But due to, again, scheduling and timing and trying to get to the man in charge of the computer, we haven't had it computerized as yet, so we just have all these 1,200, 1,300 sheets of paper. We are going to get it to him, I hope. I did want to have it done before Christmas, but we won't get it done. Possibly he can do it over the Christmas break when the college is closed.
Yeah.
And see if we can make some arrangements and have it computerized. And then we can know better. We can go through it at a glance and check out and see, you know, who has shown some movement up the ladder.
A class that stands out in my mind, and I've gathered may stand out in the school's history, is the group of men, and I don't mean to sound chauvinistic in this, who came to the college in the first year in which it offered a four-year program, 1937, and who were this first group of 20 men. Dr. Shannon was one of these. A doctor, not Eckhart, but something of the sort. I think he's dean of education at Stanford.
Kaladachi.
Kaladachi was a member of this class. Dr. Geddes, unfortunately, as I say, I found the tape wasn't taken. Yeah. Mentioned several others, I think a name like Fanning.
Possibly.
He mentioned two brothers named Lowe, one of whom became a vice president, he said, of Southern Connecticut State, and is now retired, apparently. This sounds, as a matter of fact, it sounds like such an unusual group that I've laid out the yearbook from 1942, copy down their 20 names and see what I can find out about all 20 of them. Because I think that this is the kind of thing that the history, having no idea of what its direction will be other than growth since 1903, I think it's essentially what its readers, especially among alumni, would want to see would be reference to what they have done, not only what the school has done, but what has happened to them in the course of the year. And there, I'm sure there is a hazard in using names of people directly. But it has occurred to me that perhaps one class, and this would be a good class to single out because it was the first to contain numbers of men, if it does prove to be somewhat unusual, it might be a good one to single out. In the same way that I would be hopeful that the history would not only have the normal chronology of highlights by date, you know, old main open 1905, first summer school 1907 and so forth, but that it might have the equivalent of a chronology in terms of significant events, famous concerts, dinners such as an apparently wonderful dinner in 1937 given by the Forum for Lord Marley, which Dr. Haas remembered, concerts that may have been unique. I imagine the Ides celebration last year or the year before. This kind of thing, a sort of cultural publication of books by anyone who may have gained note as an author. This is the kind of thing that I would hope, what we normally think of as a history will be supplemented by. I checked with Mr. Whitcomb in the music department as to whether their records would be reasonably complete on notable musical occasions, because to me this is the star in Wisconsin's crown in the music program. But unfortunately, no. Just so on enrollment figures, I think it's in 1949, that suddenly one sees from the previous year when enrollment was indicated at about 304, I think. The following year is then indicated as 300-odd undergraduates, 500-odd evening and extension, total 800. Well, you know that it didn't grow in one year from 300 to 800. But in checking with Mrs. Elwell and Mr. Deegan's office, she had checked with Bill McKee's office, and this is the best they can do. The records just aren't very good. Back that far. So there would be no file or anything else of notable alumni at this time.
No, not right now. Now, as I said, we are a primarily voluntary organization. We have the college gives us one quarter of Mr. Kennedy's time to act as a director, a liaison, or whatever, and we get one half the time of one of the secretaries.
And Mr.
Trimpert's office, right. So that she has many other things to do. Both of them are involved in many other activities in both of their more predominant jobs. And so we just haven't had time to do the things that we would like to do. We're hoping that we can get a full-time secretary and that we can do more things. If we get someone who can work full-time for us, then there's no limit to the amount of things that we can do.
Yes, but this would be something that would have to pay for itself, wouldn't it?
I don't know. We're hoping that the college will, you know, the state will provide.
I see.
But we don't know. We haven't looked into it fully. We're just, you know, so we're talking about it now.
I wonder how this would come out in competition with the need for a, or what the sports editor feels is a beast.
Yeah, right. Full-time director, right. I don't know. You know, I don't know. We have to, it's one of those things, the powers to be administration, whoever makes a decision, has to weigh the value and the need of everything and pick the thing that, you know, is the most needy and that they can afford. You know, there's no doubt that we do need. We do need an athletic director, but we, you know, we need a lot of things too.
Yes,
and the question of the matter is money.
Well, and I've found certainly two minds on this question of the athletic director, and I'm sure we don't want to get into it tonight. But a question in this regard, do you get evidences of viewpoint, feeling one way or the other about athletics at West County from the alumni?
From the alumni.
Why don't we have a perfect football season, this sort of thing?
Right. Well, we have got things like that. We get, when we have homecoming or we have basketball games or something that we don't sponsor, but we have some activity in conjunction with, we get quite a few of our former athletes come back. Many of our former athletes will make contributions to, and they earmark their money towards the athletic department, so we keep a little account, and we use it, you know, in one fashion or another, dealing with an athletic activity.
This supplements the student association funds, I
know. Right, we try to. We don't get very much. We don't get too much. We generally we'll use it in some fashion to, you know, to do something with that. We may use that money to pay for the homecoming activity, the reception for the football team, something like that, so that it's, you know, it's going towards a function that, or in previous years, we have subsidized the athletic banquets, the May banquet for the WAA and the MAA. So the money that our alumni send in and they earmark it for athletics, will, you know, we take that out and we subsidize the athletic WAA or MAA banquets, or we have to add to it because we don't get all that.
That's interesting that here I am 3 months into my research, and I hadn't yet thought to ask whether there still are WAA and MAA.
Well, yeah, there are, but the two do quite a few things together. The AA has, the WAA has its own banquet, as does the MAA in the spring, but I attend the WAA banquet as an alumni representative. They send me an invitation, but there are many fellows in the at the dinner also. They have mixed tennis and mixed badminton and, you know, mixed golf teams and things like this. So the fellows that have played with the girls and come to the girls' banquet. And then the same thing is true. The fellows, you know, they have, the girls go to the guys' banquet because they've played on their teams, you know, for various things. So the two are going together. They haven't quite made that distinction as just an athletic association.
Yes.
A student athletic association,
yeah,
or whatever.
The alumni association.
Right, the alumni, just, you know, everybody is an alumnus, be you male or female, that's it. The athletic department is still hovering with the women over here and the men over there, but they're coming together, so maybe in a year or two they'll mesh together and it'll just be a student athletic association or the athletic association at West Cobb.
I found out in the course of my interview with Dr. Hodge that she had been a softball pitcher at Syracuse.
Right, yeah.
I found this out by observing that this lovely soft lady I saw before me didn't look like much of an athlete. Why, Mr. Friel, I was a star at softball.
Mrs. Geddes was a PE instructor here.
Yes.
Mrs. Geddes.
And Dr. Geddes
also
came as such. I found my first reference, I think, to her in 1944 and to him in 1945. Mm-hmm. And this was why I assumed that that then Claire Trish had come before him. But sure enough, I found out, as I found out very often in the course of his research, that he had come in 1937, and then, of course, during the war years, he was off in the military. And so he naturally went to the college catalog.
Right.
I found that he took what struck me as a reasonably balanced view, but certainly one that could not be considered as in any way supporting what this young man in the News Times had to say. Harold Burke, I would say, a bit stronger on the opposite side. And then last week I went to visit Dr. Donnelly at her home in Candlewood. And here I would say there was quite strong feeling that one of the vast things Westcott needs is two greatly organized and athletic programs. But she outlined it again in terms of a philosophy as to what comes first. And I thought it was a very interesting philosophy that, first of all, essentially, the healthy mind and the healthy body, physical education first, and then intramurals, and then for those who have a talent and the time to go beyond this, organized typically for.
And that's, you know, that's the way many people feel. I think that's the way basically I feel also.
Mm-hmm.
But if the college feels that they really need it and it's going to help them, and they can afford it or they can do whatever it is, well, then I'm certainly not going to, you know,
right,
stand in their way.
But it's really, about the way the Ivies feel about it, I would say.
Right. You know, I personally, you know, I think that if someone is talented in the area, then by all means he should continue with it, and we should try to provide him with that. Just as in school, if I find a child who's talented in a certain area, I try to steer him in that area to improve his talent.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, his academics comes first,
right,
you know, and having a healthy mind and a healthy body, these things. And then, you know, his interests are secondary because he can develop those. You know,
yeah,
we can develop those further, but we have to develop the basics first.
Yes.
So I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen with the athletic department. I know they've been talking about it for quite a while. But every department has been talking about needs and,
yes,
you know, weaknesses and strengths and whatnot. So it's just, you know, it's a losing battle. We just have to wait and see what Dr. Bercy or the Board of Trustees or whoever.
I'm sure this can't be among Dr. Bercy's top 10 problems.
Sure it can be. I'm sure he's got others.
Sharon, I believe this has covered, far more than I hope we would be able to cover in the sense of...
Well, I hope I covered what you wanted to cover, because as I say, I tend to wander, and I go off on little tangents.
And this has been wonderful, because particularly, I would say, with some of the older graduates, so often as we sit down, I hear, I don't know that I have anything to tell you, Mr. Friel, but we wind up, you know, talking for about an hour and a half, because the occasional reference, or the happy, lucky reference to something will start a train of thought for these people. And this, of course, is what I'm looking for, reminiscence. I go to a catalog or a yearbook and get a date, a picture, a description. But what it was really like can only be told in people's words. And this, I think you've given me an excellent picture of the alumni organization and of many other things in the time you've been good enough to give me.
Thank you. If you want to wait a minute, I'll see. I may have Mr. Carrington's address now. And then I'll...
Well, I don't want to burden you.
It's only in the other room.
All
I just
right,
have
fine.
To look it up.
Because right.
I have some IBM listings here.
With my thanks, I'll shut off the tape, right?
Right.
Fine.